In 1968, a little church called Northwest Assembly of God started in an elementary school. By 1983, that little church was called Christian Life Center, and the CLC staff had a new ministry administrator. That young man was Stan Tharp.
Back in 1983, I told my wife of 2 years, when we interviewed for a position at this church called Christian Life Center, she asked me how long we thought we'd be there, and what did I tell her?
3 to 5 years.
3 to 5 years.
And then I thought I was going to be going back to Akron.
But instead of going back to their families in Akron, they stayed to serve at that church in Dayton. Over the next few years, Stan served on the CLC staff as business administrator, assistant pastor, and divisional staff pastor. But behind the scenes, Stan and Joyce had been struggling with infertility. In 1989, their prayers were answered when they had their son, Jonathan. With this new season of life, Stan felt like his time at CLC was coming to a close, and he had spoken to the pastor, resigned, and would stay through the end of the summer. Joyce encouraged him to take a trip to Houston Woods to pray about the future. After days of journaling and praying, he came back to tell her what he had heard from God. Just wait. Shortly thereafter, the current lead pastor had a personal crisis, which led to his sudden and unexpected departure, leaving this church of nearly 1,000 people in total turmoil and confusion. With no aspirations to be a lead pastor, Stan let the board know he had already resigned, but would stick around to help the new pastor get his feet on the ground before moving on. The board later asked him to reconsider. So Stan and Joyce went to the Miami River in Troy to talk and pray together. They picked up rocks, named their apprehensions and fears together, one by one, and threw those rocks into the river. It would not be an easy task to unexpectedly jump into a chaotic leadership void and guide a shaken congregation through a difficult healing process. But on Sunday, September 23rd, 1990, Christian Life Center had a new lead pastor, Pastor Stan Tharp.
Hi, I'm Stan Tharp. I'm the senior pastor here at Christian Life Center, and we are delighted to have you viewing this introductory video about our church.
New lead pastor Stan and Joyce went to a Stephen Curtis Chapman concert and heard a song that would inspire their trajectory at CLC, For the Sake of the Call. It became an anthem for the calling God had placed on their life, in spite of their fears and struggles, and they even made it the theme for CLC's volunteer appreciation that following year. Then, in 1992, another miracle Tharp baby was born. On June 27th, Lauren entered the world, ready to keep her brother Jonathan in check. Now, with two kids of her own and being heavily involved in ladies' Bible studies and children's ministry, Joyce helped push for adding more space for kids. After funding issues, the contractor going bankrupt, and even the frame being totally blown over after a storm, that building, known as the Ministry Center, was finally completed in 1995. To reach more people in the community, they decided to take a risk and start the community Christmas card, complete with angels on the roof. By the end of the 90s, many people were reached through things like the Community Christmas Card, the Harvest Fiesta, and the Craft Festival. By 2003, the new Student Life Center was built. Joyce helped to make the program known as CLC Stars friendly to non-church girls. The longtime beloved Easter Cantata was ended to make way for multiple Easter services. And Lauren was baptized.
Hey, Lauren, how long have you been coming to CLC?
In 2004, CLC went multi-site and became one church in four locations. Things were looking good. But another setback came in 2006 when Pastor Stan was unable to preach for an extended period after going through various health problems, including breaking his leg while visiting his mom. In spite of that and many other issues at the time, the Tharp family knew God still wasn't done yet. A small team took a trip with Pastor Stan in December of 2007 to Swaziland, Africa, to find a ministry partner. In a one in a million chance, the team ended up at a missionary's dinner party with Kevin Ward, who also had a vision for building ministry in the community by the community. It was clear that this was the partner they were looking for. The Tharps took a family trip back to Swaziland in 2008. Jonathan documented the trip, and his footage was CLC's first look into Swaziland. He also took the pictures for the prayer cards. Early in the trip, Lauren got extremely sick and spent days in the hospital upon returning.
While we were there, we visited a government hospital, and the kids there would die from things that I had. And so for me, it just made me incredibly thankful for all that God has blessed me with.
When you tell them that you're going to take a picture of them and that there's going to be someone in America praying for them, their eyes just lit up.
It was rewarding, yet, you know, it's hard to see. I have a really big heart, whether it's kids in Dayton, Ohio at Children's Medical Center or children across the world.
I am really thankful for and proud of my family. They did an amazing job in a challenging trip.
Despite worries of how it would all be accomplished in Swaziland, the logistics, the finances, the vision was bigger than that. Some would say the vision was God-sized. When Pastor Stan and Joyce were on their way back from a conference in Florida in 2008, a layout of the God-sized vision was drawn on the back of a boarding pass. Joyce was a sounding board for the ideas behind GSV, and in February 2008, the God-sized vision was brought to life at Christian Life Center. In 2010, after bringing a friend to CLC, Lauren talked with Pastor Stan about refocusing Christmas. That conversation helped reshape the Christmas services, and salvations grew as a result. That same year, the Connection Center was built. 2013 saw the next campaign to have our people contribute to building the new auditorium, which opened in September of 2015 as part of the God-sized vision. 2017 led CLC to focus on refugees, including a missions partnership in Turkey. In 2019, the difficult decision was made to launch CLC campuses as independent churches. 2020 brought even more difficulty when Joyce was diagnosed with cancer in February. A month later, the world shut down, including in-person services at Christian Life Center. So the Tharps were figuring out how to lead a church through a global pandemic while Joyce was undergoing chemo. And on the weekend of July 4th, she nearly lost her life when she was rushed to the ICU for a week.
I am thankful to be through with chemo and radiation. And I began a five-year regimen of some other medication that I really don't want to take, but I don't have a choice at this point. I'm tired, but I'm thankful to be alive, and I'm thankful that the worst is over.
In November of 2023, Pastor Stan and Joyce were able to take a trip to Eswatini to see 16 years of progress. In February of 2024, amidst the prayerfully planned yet emotional transition to a new lead pastor, Pastor Stan and Joyce went to that same spot by the Miami River in Troy that they did 34 years prior. They reminisced over four decades of ministry, the battles, the victories, and the struggles. They again named all their fears and apprehensions and threw those rocks into the river with their new future in God's hands, just as it was in 1990. Together and individually, each member of the Tharp family has made an eternal impact at Christian Life Center. Jonathan was instrumental in student ministry. He played in the youth band. He hosted small groups of 30 kids from Vandalia Butler every 2 weeks for 4 years as a student. He helped Pastor Stan with CLC marketing ideas and designed the covers for his books. He got married in 2021. Like Jonathan, Lauren was also involved in kids and youth and was a part of the programs Joyce helped create. Going to the Global Leadership Summit at CLC planted in Lauren a passion for justice. In early college, she was involved in international justice mission against human trafficking. She now works for Tech Coalition, which fights child abuse worldwide. In addition to being a wife and a mother, Joyce has been a sounding board for Pastor Stan, his partner in creativity, and challenged him as a leader. From advocating for kids to adults, from building projects to suggesting special songs, her unconditional love and compassion has laid a foundation of strength and resilience not only for her family, but for her church. Pastor Stan has led both his family and the church through many storms and seasons. He didn't just build systems and buildings. He built relationships and as many opportunities as possible for people to see Jesus. He's helped counsel and lead the people within the church and helped us reach far beyond its walls. He has baby dedicated, married, and even helped lay to rest many of us who have called this our church home. He works harder than just about anyone, and he's shouldered more than you can imagine. The Tharps collectively have been a part of well over 6,000 CLC services. Just Pastor Stan alone has driven down the CLC driveway over 17,000 times. Together, under their leadership, we've given nearly $20 million to outreach and the God-sized vision. We've celebrated over 3,000 baptisms together, and we've seen over 10,000 salvations. The Tharp family has lived out what it means to know God, be His people, value others, and change our world. Christian Life Center is beyond grateful and infinitely blessed to have had a pastor and a family who is willing to just follow Jesus, give of themselves, and sacrifice so much for the sake of the call.
The sake of the call, holy devotion. Music has always meant a lot to us in worship and our personal lives. And that song still is a bedrock song that we hang on to, hoping that that is true, that we answered the call and God is pleased. And another song that we have, Joyce can introduce, that's really been two of our key songs we hang on to.
Before I introduce the song, I just want to say, I don't do change well. And goodness, these last 2 months, I have cried so much. I'm exhausted. But I just want to say, Stan, this is all your fault.
Okay.
So throughout the last four decades, which included everything from wonderful opportunities to facing important decisions, a lot of challenges, a lot of criticisms, and uncertainty. And at times, that uncertainty led us to doubt ourselves and become full of fear. And we would pray, obviously, but we would use music to help calm us down. Yeah. One song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, he was popular in that day, has been extremely meaningful to us throughout the years. It's called Hold On to Jesus. The symbolism of holding on to Jesus helped us so many times refocus and stay the course. Today, like many of you, we are facing uncertainty regarding our future. For me, especially, it's extremely uncomfortable, scary, and emotionally draining. So we invite you to do what we have done so many times in the past and are doing currently right now, and that is desperately holding on to Jesus.
And questions are rising with the tide. So I'm clinging to the one sure thing I know. I will hold on to the hand of my Savior, and I will hold on with all my might. I will hold loosely to things that are fleeting, and hold on to Jesus. I will hold on to Jesus for life. Tried to hold many treasures that just keep slipping through my fingers like sand. But there's one treasure that means more than breath itself, so I'm clinging to it with everything I am. I will hold on to the hand of Savior, and I will hold on with all my might. I will hold loosely to things that are fleeting, and hold on to Jesus. I will hold on to Jesus for life, like a child holding on to a promise. I will cling to His word and believe, as I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And I will hold on to the hand of my Savior, and I will hold on I will hold on to Jesus. I will hold on to Jesus. For life, for life. Ooh, for life.
It is just an honor to, as Wayne said, do life together and ministry together through so many years. And so thank you. Relax, I'm not going to preach a whole sermon. But the way I figure is daylight savings time. And we started 15 minutes late, so it's really only 11 o'clock. So chill. No. I was telling Joyce a few weeks ago, I'm really struggling with, I like to be planned out. I was struggling with what to preach today in abbreviated format. And she said, well, just preach church family. And so I thought, that's a good idea. And so it's a little different twist than what you were actually meaning for me to preach. But I want to preach about church. I want to preach about family. And I want to just briefly talk about my family, and then I'll talk about us. I thought of each member of my family. I sat and I thought, okay, what verse comes to my mind? And Joyce, as you now know, third time through this, Proverbs 31 struck me. And certain verses out of that, it talks about an excellent wife who can find the heart of her husband trust in her. It's been mentioned quite a bit how much you've been a trusted advisor for me. Big decisions, creative decisions, dreaming up the community Christmas card. And just when I shared the God-sized vision for the first time on the back of a boarding pass, and you were all in from the get-go. The missionette redo that was mentioned. You know, she was very involved in our kids' ministry and ladies throughout, and when she started volunteering on Wednesday nights in the missionettes program, she said, Stan, this program wouldn't be inviting to a little girl like me when I was young because I didn't have a church family. And this assumes that you have a mom really motivated and you're all about studying and learning. What about the kid who's kind of coming there on their own? So we worked with our staff and really redid that whole thing. When we built the ministry center, the building with the gym, budget was tight, and so we were the interior decorators, which means she was, because I'm colorblind. So that's why I say also, if it looks good on me, Joyce bought it. So, but I remember our house was filled with paint swatches from Sherwin-Williams, and back in those days, wallpaper samples, and carpet squares from Smith & Sons Carpeting, and we made all kinds of picks and selections, and it turned out really nice. And I remember the outside of the building, we had to have the brick stain, had to pick a color for the stain. So it was like sub-zero wintertime, and she's in the car with the kids at the edge of the parking lot, and I'm holding up boards that are painted. How about that color? How about that color? So, but just so many ways that you have been my confidant and advisor in helping wrestle those tough decisions. And it says she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong, and you've got an inner strength that I've admired. You push through infertility, years of that, and longing for a child. We know what that pain and that roller coaster is like. I saw you, we deal with, and we had to get the strength to deal with the loss of your mom and dad in your early 40s. And then I talked to parents or to pastors who talk about how tough 2020 and COVID was, which it was. It did a lot of people in. And I said, well, add to that your wife having cancer. And literally, 4th of July weekend, we were in intensive care. You're fighting for your life. So you're a strong woman, and we've joked that being Irish and Italian, that fighter has been come in handy as my wife. Lots of leadership battles, and God has helped us make it through that. You have a strong can-do attitude as well as far as strength. Joyce will tell you that I can talk her into almost anything. Once in a while, I probably shouldn't have, but most of the time, it turns out good. I remember early on when I was on staff, some of you were in the Sunday school class that we led and I taught, and we had a couple's, I don't know, Valentine's Day something, and she was a nurse at Children's for 25 years and worked second shift at that time, and 10 years after that at a women's clinic. But she had to go to work. She said, I'll get the food already. So she literally made 20 or 60 Cornish hens. Full dinner was in the oven. Okay, just take it out and have the party. And she went to work.
when we had early days, we didn't have the facilities. We had to have we needed a missions banquet, and so you prepared a missions banquet for 200 people. It was amazing. And our home, she has the gift of hospitality. Our home that's 20 years old now. I remember counting up the first 2 years, we had 400 people in our home, one form or another, and groups of 50 to 80 are not uncommon, and some of you have been in those different groups and ministries. And I'm thankful for that. It says that she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. I still have women tell me about the Bible studies you've led. Every time you speak, Libby has you speak at Mercy Street, you get rave reviews. Oh, your wife was amazing. I'm not surprised. And the counseling that you've done. And teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Joyce has the gift of compassion and is very, very nice, very kind. In fact, pastors need to learn to set some boundaries and whatnot. And so if I get like a call at midnight and you have a crisis, if you want me to go, make sure Joyce knows about it. Because I have often said, well, I'll stop by tomorrow and I'll hang up on Joseph. What was that about? And before you know it, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. You should go. So many people thank you without even knowing that you were the motivation behind that. You have the gift of giving. It's part of your love language. And we spend thousands of dollars a year on birthday presents and wedding gifts and baby gifts and Christmas gifts for the board. And I could go on and on and on. And it's just cool to watch that. And at the same time, being a great steward, we practice what we preach here and at home when it comes to what God's given us. And then I remember the time that she told me when our kids were preschoolers that she volunteered to a friend of hers to watch her newborn infant and preschooler a couple times a week. And I said, why did you do that? We're so busy, you know. And she said, well, we are Christians, so she can preach to the pastor. So, and it says that charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And how many times I've heard you say, I just want to honor God and not disappoint him. And well done, babe. Thank you. When I think of Jonathan, he is named after my dad and Joyce's mom, John Tharp and Johnny Fanoni. And as you know, his name means gift from God. And my, you were that. I still remember when you were born, crying like a baby. Not just you, me. And after 8 years of infertility, marriage and infertility, and then you grew up here, as the pictures show, very involved in kids' church and shepherd boy in the community Christmas card, and so we do that together. And we liked the shepherd station down the driveway. We had a bonfire, and so we'd go to Kroger and get a chicken, and we'd literally cook a chicken over the bonfire. It'd be real authentic as you were all driving up to see the nativity. Very involved in youth group, like I was said, in the band, and a small group in our home every other week for 4 years in high school. We have 30 teenagers in our basement. And as I thought of what verse strikes me, Jonathan, it's Proverbs 3. It was also my dad's favorite verse. I didn't say that before. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I've seen that in your life. It's kind of cool. I was at a breakfast meeting down in Kettering years ago, and I just happened to stop after that to see Bob Cupp. His office was down there. He was the president of the Vandalia School Board. We've been friends for years, and he just happened to tell me about a program at CTC that really lined up with Jonathan's interest. And long story short, he got into a program that was closed, but last minute, went from CTC to Sinclair, and then he went to university, and then he got his MBA at Missouri State, got it paid for, and now in a career in marketing. And it's just amazing to watch God guide your steps. Then he brought Monica into your life, and she is a nurse at Miami Valley, or what's it called? Premier, sorry. So, and as you heard alluded to, she's going to be a mommy, he's going to be a daddy, and we're going to be grandparents this summer. So. I remember when you went through some real battles, healthcare battles that, thank God, are over, but God wasn't answering prayers as I would have liked. And I remember asking you, how are you doing with this with your faith? And you said, well, Dad, what's there to doubt? We just trust God. And your life preached some real sermons to me, and I respect that. And just when we had given up on another child, God blessed us with Lauren Victoria. Both those names speak of victory. And Lauren, I sat there and I was kind of surprised just thinking about what verse struck me. And it was from Psalms where David said, "You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." Because not only from battling infertility, but I realized how close we came to losing you. Joyce had an infertility disease, and it was exclusive of conception. And the doctor said, "Well, let's do one more laser surgery. We'll see if we can't get another chance to get pregnant." Hang on a second. It was that or sniffle the rest of the way, so. And so I remember, well, if she has, you know, the disease is back, he goes, "No, it's not if, I can assure you." And so I remember after the surgery, he came out to the waiting room kind of bewildered, and he said, "Well, you know, there was no disease after all." And I didn't even fire up the laser, otherwise I'd have done some routine kind of cleanup work in there. And that's incredibly significant because Joyce did the pre-surgery testing, and in spite of that, we found out that here she was pregnant with Lauren when that surgery was happening. And I won't go into all the details, but had he fired up the laser and done the routine work, he would have accidentally caused an abortion and we would have lost Lauren. And so while you were being formed in your mother's womb, you were being protected. And we're so glad because you saw that picture, that baby picture is pretty appropriate. Just that laughing, full energy girl. Passionate, fun, a thinker, thoughtful, opinionated. Apple didn't fall far from the tree. In fact, when we built the ministry center, she was a preschooler and the teacher was having a lesson about, I don't know, seeds and maybe fruit of the spirit. And so she had cups, put dirt in them, put a seed in it. And the teacher told me later that day, she said, "Lauren raised her hand and said, 'Does my dad know you have that dirt in here?'" So that's a daughter who's got my back. You and Mom volunteered at Fairfield campus at least once a month doing kids ministry out there. You were involved throughout our ministries and quite an evangelist when you played varsity basketball for Butler as a sophomore. You brought your whole team to youth group. And you carried that passion to Greater Dayton Rowing Association. You got a certificate in apologetics from Biola University while in high school. And got a scholarship to Notre Dame. In high school, I would take both the kids if they're interested in coming to the leadership summit. And one year in particular, Gary Haugen from the International Justice Mission spoke, and it just riveted something in Lauren, a passion for justice. And going to Notre Dame and then transferring to GW, and she was involved with IJM. And it was neat to see years later coming out of the podcast industry, and God led you to be involved in the tech coalition that fights child abuse online. And so I'm very thankful and proud of my family and been blessed by them. As far as me, I thought, what verse do I share? And I'm most cautious about this one because the biggest blind spot is the one in our mirror. But if a verse that came to my mind was in the Gospel of John, and I had a quick throwback to about 2 years into this role, you can watch the 50th anniversary services September of 2018 if you want to know the larger story Joyce and I shared and I did. But all hell was breaking loose at a leadership level. And the best man at our wedding, Dave McDonald, called me. He was a doctor in the Army in Hawaii, real hardship tour, as they call it. And he said, "Well, how's the church going?" And I said, "You know, outside looking in, it's going great, but I've told God as soon as he's done with me, I am out of here." And he said, "That's a great attitude for a shepherd, as only a best friend could say." And I don't know what else he said. I was distracted by that comment. And as I hung up, I just sat at my desk and I prayed. I said, "Lord, I'm not trying to be ungrateful. I'm thankful for the privilege, but all the stuff was going on at the time to talk about it. I learned the hard way that sheep can be carnivorous and they can be rabid." And it was, there were both people at CLC. We saw the church at our best and we also saw Christians at our worst. And it was horrible. And in my flesh, I wanted out. We wanted out. And I felt like that day the Holy Spirit took me to the last chapter of the Gospel of John. And you know the stories where Jesus is talking to Peter and they're on the seaside and they've had dinner after they got out of the boat. And Lauren and I were there in 2019 in Israel. And as we came to that site, knowing how special it is to me, and they built like a shrine over it. And she whispered to me as we stood in the back, and she said, "Dad, if this is what they think where it is, this is probably where it happened." And I just stood in the back of that little cathedral and wept. I walked out. In fact, in my phone is a 30-second clip of nothing but you can hear my feet walking on the pebbly beach of the Sea of Galilee and the water lapping the shore. And I just pictured Jesus walking with Peter and John, and he says to Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Tend my lambs." And most of us have probably heard that message preached on how it's kind of undoing the three denials of Peter, which I'm sure that's the case. But what I felt the Holy Spirit say to me was, notice what Jesus didn't ask Peter. He didn't ask Peter, "Peter, do you love sheep?" Because, and a good shepherd should love their sheep, and I love you dearly. We love you as a church family. But if you're in it for the love of the sheep, if you're in it for the applause and the praise, Satan will find a way sooner or later to turn that around on you. And there are times, I'm sure you've found in your walk, but there are times in our walk I've found, and what has kept me going is I'm in this as far as I know to the best of my ability because I love Jesus. And there are times I've thought about bailing and leaving. We have, and yet I remember Peter said, "Lord, where else will we go? What else will we do?" And then what are my words for you, for us? First of all, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your love, your prayers, your support, for your patience and your grace, and allowing us to learn together and grow together with you. And as I've said, my most reassuring prayer probably isn't good news to you, is, "God, I confess my incompetence to do what you've called me to do." And I used to say, "And if you don't help me, we're in trouble." Until one day my office, Holy Spirit said, "Oh, excuse me, we're not in trouble. You're in trouble." "But if you don't help me, we're in trouble. I'm in trouble." And God has always been there. And thank you. And I guess I would say, carry on. Now, as we look at the condition of our culture and those of us who love God's word and God's way of living are grieved and tormented by the distractions and the perversions and all the moral failure of our world. And as people are being led astray and believing a lie and pursuing things that don't satisfy, they will come to a place where they will realize, "I'm empty. I need a Savior. I need peace. I need hope." And they will need Jesus more than ever. And they'll need a church that offers him up as the way and the truth and the life. And so the verse that came to my mind for you, for us, is from Hebrews. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." Say, "without wavering." I've said every service, you have to repeat at least one thing during a message, right? So, "For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to motivate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Be that kind of place. The most encouraging place in a person's week. That kind of place. A place that's loving. A place that's inviting. A place that cares. A place that bears each other's burden and invites people to know Jesus and to hold on to him like the rest of us are. And our call is not diminished. And in John chapter 12, verse 32, "While we are honored by your appreciation and respect, it is not about us, it's about him." And Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all people to myself." We are strategically placed at the crossroads of America to lift up Jesus. Because when people find him, they have found the pearl of great price. And our calling now until Christ comes back is to lift him up. And so, no surprise, you don't know this, but as many times is the case, this next song says it so beautifully, and Joyce is the one who said to me weeks ago, you know what, on that last weekend, you ought to think about this would be a great song. And as soon as I heard it, I said, oh, babe, that is perfect. And so would you just bask in the beauty and the truth and the love of how sweet it is to be loved by Jesus. Close in prayer. I'm going to ask you to take a seat, though, if you would. And
When we're done, Libby will give you some instruction. Thanks.
Want to say anything?
We love you. We thank you for sticking with us and trusting us all these years. And I just want to publicly say to Stan how incredibly proud I am of you. You are one of the most professional and intellectual. You have led with humility. You are so ethical. And you made me so proud. And to be honest, what I'm going to miss the most is because, you know, I didn't come from a big church background. And I really am going to miss hearing him speak, because he takes the Bible and he makes it so practical. Even when we will be fighting and I come in here and I'll be sitting thinking, you know, even though I may not like this man as a husband right now, but I love listening
to him.
And he can
preach.
But he can preach. And we're usually in a better mood when we walk out.
How true that is.
How true it is. But anyways, I love you and we love you. Thankful to my kids. Thankful Monica's in our life. And man, this is just very difficult.
Let's pray. God, we see your divine genius in so many ways. From a sunrise to a snowflake. And we see the church, your idea, and we have to say, good job, God. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these amazing people, brothers and sisters, together in Christ. And so we pray a blessing on each one. You know the struggles and the challenges that are represented across this audience, and we just pray that we lean in and hold on to Jesus. We thank you for the amazing new season at Christian Life Center and the God-sized opportunities that are ahead, and we trust you in all of that for good things. And Lord, to each of us, speak to us to hold on to you and to bask in the sweetness of your love. And we thank you. We love you. We trust you. And help us always to be willing and open to hear and answer whatever call you have for each one of us. I thank you, God, for that kind of church. I call CLC possibility-oriented people. Help us never to lose that until the day you return. In your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Pastor Libby's going to come now. Lip. Thank you, guys.
Such a beautiful, beautiful, precious service. Yes. And we want to thank all of you for coming and being part of today, but mostly for through all the years for your support and love that you've shown and been part of our Christian Life Center family. And I know from not having a family here, you are my family, and you've been an incredibly wonderful family, and we appreciate and love all of you so very much. Now, as you leave today, we have a small gift for you. We have a sweet treat that's one of the favorites of Joyce and Pastor Stan, and also a whiteboard. And so he's a happy man. That's in the packet. And then there's going to be a receiving line out the door. So if you would just make a line and start the receiving line, that would be wonderful. And we have nothing bun cakes for you as a treat. So please eat those. We have a lot of them and some water. So thank you again. So enjoy the rest of the afternoon. And we pray the Lord's blessing mightily on all of you today and this week. Thank you.